Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, and today we have multiple guests. Nathan, when we have multiple guests, we know we're always going to have some action, don't we?
Yeah, action and maybe some things that we're not expecting to happen, but it's always good. It's actually great to have a room full of people here.
And that's good for missions because, listen, I haven't seen anybody do it real good just by themselves.
Well, Jesus, you know, actually taught not to do that, right?
Right.
He modeled and he commanded his followers, his apostles, sent out ones to go out at the minimum of two by two, right? So we've talked about that before, all the reasons, some of those that's important to do practically, spiritually. But you always want to approach mission work as a team, in a team setting.
And the church is the basis for it. Mm-hmm. What was amazing, when Paul went on his missionary journey, Antioch was there, and Antioch was sending them out. They laid hands on them and sent them out. And as they went, they gathered more than just two. It was Barnabas and Paul, but before long, there was others that were joining. So we praise the Lord for that. So we want to introduce our guys today. Let me see. Rock music, rock church, and you play rock?
Yeah, we play rock and roll for Jesus. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Steele.
Yes, sir.
What a name.
Well, thank you very much. I was actually named after my grandmother. Her name was Barbara Steele Kerr, and the name Steele made its way through our family. I've got a number of cousins, and I've got an uncle named Steele, but I'm the only one who goes officially by Steele.
Well, that fits a musician.
Yeah, it does.
I think you could be known as the artist known as Steele.
Well, thank you.
Well, it would have to be hard rock, right?
Right. It would have to be hard. I have a number of people who say, "Is that your real name?" And yes, that is actually my real name.
Yeah. It's amazing what God can do with names. Amen. You know, he can change a few, like Simon to Peter, right, yeah. You know, Abram to Abraham.
Yes, sir.
I always thought he'd do that good with Bert, but he's left me the same, you know.
And it's a good name, too.
Okay. And we also have another guest, Caleb. Caleb, yes. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Man,
it's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And those that know me, I love Caleb. He's my favorite Old Testament, character. He and Nehemiah.
Sure.
A mountain climber at 85. Are you going to start doing that at 85, climbing mountains?
My wife would probably like me to climb more mountains, but we live in Utah, and hiking's not my favorite activity.
Oh,
so.
Wow, man, what a place. There's more national parks in Utah than any other state.
It's beautiful.
That's right.
Yep.
It is.
I like to look at it from afar, though.
Okay. Okay. Well, it is good to have you guys, and we want them to share your story, first
sure.
of all.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your story about why and what you do. And Salt Lake City, big city, kind of different than a lot of other, would you say different than a lot of other big cities?
Absolutely. So Utah itself is less than 3% evangelical, Bible-believing Christian. For your audience there, the large religion is the LDS religion, Latter-day Saint, otherwise known as the Mormon faith. And so a large part of our ministry as a church, the Rock Church, and also with our music, the Rock Music, is reaching out to a large group of people in our city, in our area, that have heard a lot about Jesus, but don't have a full understanding of the gospel of grace. Their religion is largely a works-based type of faith that there's a number of things they have to go through and continue to do to stay in good graces with God, their understanding of God. And a large part of our ministry is singing about the unbelievable love and grace of Jesus and teaching through the Bible, book by book, telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. So many of our folks come in with an idea of who Jesus is and walk away, hopefully, with a personal encounter with him and a relationship with Jesus Christ.
You know, Nathan, when I hear that, I know Salt Lake City is unique in that way, but a lot of large cities, the percentage of evangelical Christians seem to be shrinking. They've left the inner city and they've gone to other places, and it's left a lot of inner cities empty when it comes to evangelical witness.
Yeah, it's really important for the church in the U.S., in the West, to have a city focus. We've kind of, like you've said, neglected over the years and kind of left it as almost enemy territory to a degree. And so there's consequences to that. And there's challenges when you go back into the city and try to reach people for Jesus. You know, when you're talking about people that are a part of the LDS religion and community, it's like a lot of religions in it being work-based. And, you know, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, anything that we do is work-oriented, right? Works-oriented, where we're trying to earn something, where we're trying to be good enough, and there's a heavy burden that people are carrying. Have you seen, like, a freedom when people hear the good news of Jesus and the grace that he gives? Have you seen, like, burdens lifted, that freedom people can experience who God is without trying to earn salvation? They can actually receive that gift.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'd say we see it in droves by the grace of God that he's just drawing people to himself. We hear stories of people even within the LDS faith that reach out to us at times that maybe don't publicly can't say it to their family or to the, even to their spouse or to their church, certainly not their community, that it feels like I'm missing something. And those that by faith and courageously step out into that and do enter into a relationship, though they might lose everything in their community, they might be a black sheep, they might be sworn off by their friends and family, there is this new life, this found identity in Christ, and this new community in the true body of Christ that they find. And it's amazing to see. And we're just so thankful so often to just kind of have front row seats at this, that we see the Holy Spirit at work. And we just get to help. So we love it. It's incredible.
Oftentimes we've had opportunities because of our music ministry to move to places that have more of a music focus, like Nashville or Los Angeles. We've had lots of opportunities, but we feel called by the Lord. Our ministry with music is related directly to our ministry in the church. And we feel called to be in Utah because so many people are coming in and hearing about the love and the grace of Jesus. One thing that really is amazing that they find is that there's a humility or a vulnerability or even transparency where a Christian can stand before another believer and say, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life and I continue to make a lot of mistakes, but Jesus Christ and his love and his grace forgives me and continues to carry me along. He's changing me day to day. My identity has been changed, but who I am, that sanctification process, means that I don't have to put on a face. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to have a mask. I can say to you, I've struggled with these many things, and God still loves me and is carrying me along. And that kind of vulnerability to that community is unknown. It is very much, like you had mentioned, a works-based faith where there may be a lot of religiosity that's happening, but there's not a lot of relationship that's happening.
And you know, the realness of it, the authenticity, with struggles even being a part of your walk, that is also part of your witness. And like you're saying, people are drawn to authenticity, and it gives what you say, gives your message more weight. In my experience, it does anyway, when they can relate to you as an individual, as a person.
We're called fellow strugglers, mm-hmm. you know, and we're on our journey, and that journey has hills and curves and rocks, and sometimes it gets pretty narrow, mm-hmm. you know, and tough and difficult. Well, are any of you guys originally from Utah, or have all of you gone to Utah?
Yeah, none of us are originally from Utah. We've all landed in Utah, and the Lord has kept us.
Were y'all there together and started the group there, or did y'all move there?
Yeah, so I lived in Utah as my childhood area. Music took me all over the place before I was writing music for the Lord. I was writing music on my own and in a secular band and making all kinds of terrible decisions for lots of years. Speaking of transparency, and to get back to your question, I spent a number of years, though I was a believer by the age of 12 through God's grace, there was a time between ages 12 to about, well, maybe ages 15 to about 25 where I certainly was not following the Lord. Music had taken a hold of my life, and I was going all around the world playing secular music that I had written. And the way that, to your church question, that this landed for me is I had come off a long tour, and I had been a mess for a lot of years. And my sister had found a new church called The Rock Church. And she was a believer, and she had been a believer for quite some time. And I said, I just don't want to go to a church. I'm going to get struck by lightning. You know, she looked at me and said, you look so bad. And I said, yeah, I'm not going to church. And she said to me, she said, you know, they meet on Saturday nights, and you can smoke cigarettes out front, and you can, I'll take you out and get you a beer when we're finished. And that was my love language, cigarettes and beers and food. And so I said, okay, a church that meets at night, and she's going to let me smoke out front, and I'll go get some beers when I'm done. I guess I'll go. And I went to this church. It was really small at the time, brother. It was just in a rec room. There was mirrors around the room, you know, and they kind of transformed it for a church service. And I walked in, and the drummer, there was this modest little band that was playing, and I had been touring with some of the biggest name rock acts in the world. And I saw this little, you know, Christian contemporary band, but I had never seen anything quite like that back then. And the drummer got up from the drums, and then he came over to the microphone. It turned out to be the pastor. And he started talking about grace and love and forgiveness and really just about, do you know how much God loves you? Do you know who God made you to be? And it was like a light switch went off in my head. You know, I suddenly was like, what am I doing with my life? I'm using music for all the wrong reasons. Well, through a series of amazing God events, I ended up leaving that band, leaving those record contracts, and staying in Utah with no plan to know what I was going to do. I never knew I was going to be a pastor. I never wanted to be. I never wanted to be a worship leader or a songwriter for worship music. But because of the love and the grace of God, that is what's kept me there. And so when you ask, have you always been there? Well, kind of. It's been home for me as I've spent a lot of time in other places of the world. But the reason that I'm still at The Rock is because of that love and that grace of God. I don't know about you, how you ended up there.
Yeah, I was born in Rhode Island. We moved early on in my childhood to Utah. My dad was in the military. We grew up going to a Southern Baptist church and eventually a community non-denominational church. And I went to Christian school, lots of influence in the Christian world, and had an affection for the Lord and loved him as best as I knew how, but I struggled with a lot of things, and in the Christian community didn't necessarily find a lot of grace all the time when I would confess my sin or talk about things I was struggling with. And so around the graduation of high school, I started attending this church called The Rock. I was going through a difficult time at the time, and I knew Steele, had met him at my school. His wife here, Kim, had actually been a teacher at my school, and so this long-haired rock and roll guy kept coming in the hallway and pushing me against the wall and giving me a hard time, and it was Steele, lovingly, but when I was going through a difficult time, I turned to that church that I knew and this guy that seemed to be kind to me in his own way. And so I started attending The Rock Church around 18 years old, and started getting discipled by Steele and another brother who is now my father-in-law. I fell in love with...
He had a vested interest.
Yeah, he did, yes. Yeah, he put his arm around me. He was like, if you're going to hang out with my daughter, I need to get to know you.
Yeah.
So slowly worked through some things, got married, and started playing music at the church. And so that's kind of my story in a short way of how I got joined up with The Rock and started leading worship there. And it's been life-changing.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking I would be a pastor either. I thought maybe I would move out to Nashville and try to see what would happen. I was a musician growing up and knew some people in the Christian music industry. Thought, we'll see what might happen there. But then I fell in love with this local church. Fell in love with Jesus, but fell in love with the mission of the local church in Utah, and just said, well, I think this is what I'll give my life to. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, how important, and you're speaking to it, but how important is it as our listeners are hearing, you know, they may or may not have experienced a strong Christian community, like that tangible love in Christ that we are to, you know, have for one another and demonstrate to one another. And then the world is looking for that too, whether they know it or not. Mm. And so how important is that? Like, how is that a part of our mission? How is that a part of our witness to, you know, be a healthy community as a church, to be life-giving for one another, where people are, you know, they're drawn to the person of Jesus, obviously, but they see Jesus in each other, in the people around them. How important have you seen that to be in Salt Lake City there?
Oh, it's absolutely important. In the church I grew up in, there was a sense of community, and I loved going there, but there was very much a sense of, like Steele said, putting either on a mask or a face, or loving people at arm's length. And there was an excitement still to be there as a child, and a lot of activities that I loved. But also I feel like there was a missing sense of mission and evangelism, and it was very much come and attend and get fed. And what I fell in love with and really God put on my heart when I started coming to this church was the idea that we are to love each other authentically, be real, like Steele said, to share our struggles, to show each other grace, to show each other truth from the Word, and to then be a support to each other, to be on mission. Like you guys were talking about earlier, of going out two by two, sometimes there's a disconnect there of, well, we draw people in, but also are we envisioning them to go on, be on mission in your life every day, to not just receive the love of Christ, but to share it. And mm-hmm. I think that there's a purpose in your life that gets missed sometimes when that's not communicated. And by God's grace, that struck me. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to do. Every part of life, whether we were at church or being together as a church in someone's home, it was, how are we loving those around us authentically, pushing them closer to Christ and sharing truth with them? But also then, how are we throughout our community, at our work, as we go to a restaurant, are we sharing the fragrance of Christ with others and trying to show that love and that grace that our community, especially in Utah, needs? That they, hey, I see you, I love you, you're messed up just like me.
Yeah.
And Jesus loves you.
I think that's a huge motivator too, because to your question, how important is the love of the church? I think that the motivator for authentic mission or true mission comes from a deep desire to know and love God, but you also know that you are known and loved by God. And so as a church, I think sometimes to be able to really let your guard down with the trusted people that you're with, to be able to say, I am struggling in my marriage, I'm struggling with addiction, I'm struggling with my anger, I'm struggling with consistency in the Word of God. It's such an important thing, because as real family, that's what you would do. You would say, Dad, I need help. Mom, I need help. And I don't want to hide from this. And I can only get help if I ask for it. And God has provided us His Holy Spirit, but He's giving us one another to actually carry each other along. And when we experience that kind of love and grace and truth, because again, my story, tons of problems, lots of addictions, lots of immorality coming off of the road. And nobody said, change and then come to me. They all just said, Jesus can do this, so you're welcome here, and we're going to teach you the Bible, and we're going to love you, but we know you're kind of a mess. And that love and acceptance, if you will, while also being held in the tension of the truth of God's Word, changes a person like me or like others to say, if this is a picture of God's love, all I want to do is tell people about God's love. It doesn't become a task that you have to do. It becomes something that is very natural to you. Mm-hmm. Just like telling your spouse that you love them, or telling your best friend, I really enjoy being around you. It's just like that with Jesus and mission. It has purpose, but it has authenticity because you've experienced God's mission in your own life.
You know, when I hear this about having the support, this is the reason Jesus' numbers are important. They were 500, but it's hard to be authentic with 500 people.
Yeah.
And then there were 70. that he would send out two by two, and they would come back and they would share what God had done through them. But then there were 40 and sometimes 12. And even the 12, which is a small group, if you read in the Gospels, they're always numbered in threes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this authenticity that we're talking about, it's going to happen in small groups, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen in the mega group and together. It's going to happen with one-on-one, one-on-three. And yeah. I say this all the time, the importance of a one person, and they're in the middle. They've got someone that's going before them, and that's their mentor. They may or may not know a lot about it, but they're watching their lives. But then you need some guys on either side or ladies on the other side that keep you accountable. And then you know there's somebody watching you. Guess what that does? That puts you right in the middle of what growth and discipleship and concern. We've left some people out here. There's four members of Rock Music that we're talking about. And one of them that is not talking is not the drummer. I was shocked that he was not the drummer. He's the keyboardist. Tom, I know you're way over there. Just say hello and say something, brother. We just need to hear from you.
Yes, I'm not the drummer. I'm the keyboardist, so.
Well, yeah, brother, we appreciate you being in music.
Thank you.
Okay, and by far the most attractive person.
By far
in this group is Kimberly, who is the wife of Steele. Get up close to the microphone, Kimberly. And you guys have been married how long?
It will be 19 years in June.
Awesome. See, I knew who to ask. How long?
Thank you for doing that, brother.
Well, yes. I wanted to take care of you, brother. And okay, you were a school teacher?
I was, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A long time ago.
A long time ago. Mm-hmm. And now you're...
Now I homeschool two of my children at home. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she's also an amazing singer, so she would never say that about herself, but she sings on many of our albums and is a great songwriter and a wonderful wife and terrific mom.
Well, amen.
Thanks, guys.
Well, and you're married, and I heard that. Your father-in-law mentored you with something in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And married children yet?
Yeah, we've been married 15 years next month, and we have four kids.
Four kids.
So we're
what's their ages? Don't put you on the spot.
Yeah, 11. We have 11, 10, 7, and 5.
Okay, you're waiting for the teenage years?
Yeah.
Are y'all going to start praying for him?
Oh, yeah. We're in the teenage years now, and we need prayer, too, out there, so we'd love that as well.
Yeah, can I ask a dumb question? But I've got to know. I'm kind of curious. For followers of Jesus living in Utah, do you feel the need to keep up with your Mormon neighbors and how many children that you have?
Not necessarily.
It's called freedom.
Right. Freedom in the Lord. That's right.
Also, though, it's funny enough, our kind of group of churches that we are connected to have a lot of kids, too.
Sure.
Like Midwest families that have like 8 or 9 or 10 kids. And so for us, it's like 3 and 4 is we're good enough.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm the youngest of 9.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
And we were Baptist.
Yeah.
but we were also farmers, so we were assets.
That's right.
You know,
That's
we
right.
helped gather in the crops.
Sure
it was always amazing.
More hands make light work.
That's right.
Okay, we need to tell people about where they can find your music and what you're doing now.
Yep.
If you go out from Salt Lake City to other places to sing, give us a lowdown on that still.
Yeah. So first and foremost, we just want to thank you so much for this opportunity and all your listeners for taking time to listen to this. The church is called The Rock Church. You can find that online. We are in Draper, Utah. The ministry of our music is therockmusic.org. You can find all of our music on Spotify, on all the streaming platforms, on Instagram, of course. We have released an EP this past summer that we are still so proud to be talking about called The Future Is Sure. That is available on all streaming platforms, and we are releasing more music again starting in March with a cover of the song All Hail King Jesus that Caleb here is singing. We're very excited about. And then music just to keep coming from our ministry. We have a lot of songs lined up, a lot more recordings that are happening even while we're here in Tennessee. So the future looks busy. It is sure in Christ's hands, but the future is also very busy.
Mm-hmm. Writing music. Are you a poet at heart, Caleb?
I would not say so, no.
I don't write.
Yeah.
I don't write good. One time for my wife, I was trying to show her I loved her through love language of her receiving gifts, you know. And so I love the 12 days of Christmas. So I thought I would write poetry and give her gifts 12 days before Christmas. And so I did have the gifts. After about the second or third day, Jan told me that I could give up on the poetry.
Just give me the gifts.
Yeah, just give me the gifts.
That's so funny.
Know your skill. Yeah.
I have no poetry about. I can look at it, interpret it, but I cannot produce it. But tell me, I do really want to know this, and I think this is missional to the point of some people out there that want to make a difference. How does it start, the process? Does God lay a phrase on your heart? Do you go to the Word of God and see something? So much of the praise music is from a phrase or sentence in the Word of
Absolutely.
God. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I would say
that
it changes each song. Inspiration comes from a lot of places. For me, sometimes it's sitting down with my guitar and picking through some chords or a part and getting inspired that way, where a melody pops in my head. Sometimes it's reading God's Word and I think, wow, I just hear something I have to put to song here. I would say the biggest inspiration for me lyrically is scripture. That is just seems to be my easy, because I'm not a poet. I don't think flowing thoughts in that way, and it doesn't just pop in my head. So scripture is definitely an easy place to find inspiration.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's largely prayer. I feel like so many of the songs that God's given me have started with authentic prayer, and I'll just have my guitar and I'll be praying, and those words will start to come out. And then also in terms of worship music, yeah, the Word of God. We just did a co-write a few days ago and opened up Psalm 139, and that was the platform for all of our lyrics, because we want to be rooted in the Word of God. We don't want to just have emotions with our worship music, which can be powerful. We want it all to be theologically correct, to go straight back to the Word of God. So the Bible is the anchor, but emotions and prayer are a big part of that.
It's hard to serve the Lord without some emotion, isn't it?
Yes, it
Amen.
Is.
Well, we've been talking today with Caleb and with Steele, and they're with the Rock Church out in Salt Lake City, Utah, and with the Rock Music. Tell us one more time those websites where our audience can connect with you.
The Rock Church, you can find it at trc.life, so therockchurch.life, and The Rock Music is therockmusic.org.
Awesome. So we want to invite you to check them out and get your hands on some of those fresh tunes that are coming all the time. And we thank you for listening today. But let's be in prayer for especially these guys, all those serving in a mission field that is white for harvest, is ripe and ready. We want to pray for faithfulness. We want to pray for effectiveness and fruitfulness. And we know all that comes from Jesus Christ and walking and living in His Spirit. And that's for all of us. So let's join in prayer in that way. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions.